Good morning, church. Hey, that's good. Isn't it been terrific, the sharing in the time this morning and just the worship time? It was just a lot of energy that was very present. Thank you, Guy, and to Kate for making the decision to have two services. This morning it was kind of hard to get everybody in. But everybody's found a seat. But it's made me realize that it's a good decision in the way that we are moving forward. There will be challenges, but I know that the Lord will bless it and we can continue to grow. And that's got to be important. So you can still invite your neighbors, invite others to be part of us here on a Sunday morning. In recent weeks, I've been reflecting and researching the life of David in the Old Testament. And I've found it very helpful for my own personal walk with the Lord. And I trust there'll be things there that you'll be able to glean as well. David is mentioned 935 times in the scriptures. He was the youngest in his family. He had seven brothers. Can you imagine that? He was the youngest. And perhaps because he was the youngest, he was assigned to look after the father's sheep. So he was the shepherd. As a shepherd, he became very skillful in the use of his sling. And probably many of you, or all of you, have heard of David confronting Goliath. Only with a sling to this professional soldier who everybody feared. But David, with his accuracy, was able to conquer Goliath. He was anointed as king, but he had a rough journey before he actually became king. There was many, many challenges. But he eventually, through God's help, he became king. And for 40 years, he was the king of Israel. He united the tribes of Israel. He established Jerusalem as the capital. And he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. But most of all, the interesting thing about David is that he had a very personal and deep relationship with his Lord. He's often described as the man after God's own heart. Now, that doesn't happen quickly. There has to be some evidence for that. Despite his failures, he is remembered for his deep devotion for God. In my dreaming, I thought, wouldn't it be good if somehow we could bring David into a service here at Cornerstone? Put him on a seat and have a question and answer session. I know what I'd want to ask him. I'd want to know more about his spiritual walk and how he maintained that as a king with all the challenges that rulers face. David remained faithful. Well, that's not going to happen, is it? He's not going to come here on a Sunday morning. However, I thought it through further. And I thought, we've got the Psalms. And there's actually, I think there's 150 chapters in the Psalms. And 73 of those Psalms, they say, were definitely written by David. He shares his DNA. He shares his mindset, his trust and confidence in the Lord. He was very articulate. He was honest and transparent. And that's such valuable attributes to have. This morning I want to look at one psalm, just part of the first three verses. It's a psalm that you probably know, and some of you will know them off by heart. Let's see if I can get this to... Oh, it's already up there. Thank you. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. David is developing a metaphor that came from his early days of being a shepherd, his younger days. And it's a metaphor that everybody would have understood because there were lots of shepherds looking after small groups of sheep. And a shepherd is one who is totally concerned for the welfare of the sheep, to provide for them, to protect them, and to guide them. And David is saying this, as a shepherd provides, protects, and guides, this is what the Lord does in our life. He provides, he protects, and guides. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. To think that the Almighty God is the one who is right there to provide, protect, and to guide. And to make it even more reinforced, David doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. What does he say? He inserts a small word and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Why don't we all say it? The Lord is my shepherd. It's interesting also that David uses a word that is sort of in capital letters there, Lord, which encompasses the greatness and the majesty of God. The Creator God, the God Almighty, the God Most High, the one and truly God, living God. He is our shepherd. He is the one who can be there to protect and guide us and enable us. I think it's amazing, and I'm sure you do too, how God the Divine links himself with an individual, someone like us. Isn't that amazing? To think the Almighty God, we can actually call him my shepherd. And this is God's initiative. This is not something David dreamed up, thinking this would be great if we could have God on our side, if we can have the Lord on our side. But this comes from the Lord himself. Look, I'm your shepherd. I'm the one that wants to walk with you. I'm the one who wants to walk in front of you and to guide you. In the New Testament, Jesus himself, he linked to this metaphor. And he said, he is the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, I picked out four verses that describes Jesus' activity as being the good shepherd. First of all, in verse 7, Jesus stands at the gate because he wants to give individual attention. It's probably a narrow gate where the sheep are held during the night before the sheep go out during the day. The shepherd, he wants to be there at the gate so he can see each individual sheep. And we're just not a mass. We're known individually. Now, I can't understand that. My mind can't grapple with that. But that's what the scripture is telling us. And that's what Jesus is wanting to reinforce. In verse 9, Jesus says, he wants his sheep to experience abundant life. In verse 11, Jesus says, he will lay down his life for his sheep. And Jesus actually did that. And shortly we're going to celebrate communion. There's another reminder how Jesus laid down his life because he wants us to experience life, the resurrection. And then I think the most powerful phrase that I picked up when I was reading through is in verse 14. Jesus says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." To think that the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior, He knows us. And yet it's a reciprocal relationship. We can know Him as well. The verse 1 sort of continues on. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And I was wondering about that for a while. And then I heard a guy who put the word "because" in front of that phrase. And that made a lot of sense to me. And it goes like this: "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." It's all because of the Lord. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we can be confident of His care because the Lord is totally engaged with us. We have Him. He is mine. And that's got to be good. In Psalm 121, David says, "The Lord will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." Will not slumber. He knows what's going on. And that was reflected in the testimonies this morning. The Lord knows what's going on. He goes before and He follows. He's there. And I think David is just expressing his trust and confidence in his relationship with his master. And when things turned to custard, as it did a number of times for David as he was king, he always had that bedrock. Jesus, the Lord, was his shepherd. And that made all the difference as far as David was concerned. In verse 2, we read of the activity of the shepherd. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." A little bit of background in sheep farming in the time of David. Sheep were completely dependent on the shepherd for provisions, guidance, and protection. They weren't spread out over fields like we often see here in New Zealand. But the sheep were dependent on the shepherd taking them out to where there was the green grass, the green pastures, and the quiet waters. Sheep didn't stay in the fields, but each day they were brought back into the sheepfold. And normally, I think from what I can gather, the flock of sheep were often quite small, perhaps 20, made up of what a man would have as far as his sheep was concerned. And David was a shepherd in a tough environment around that part of Palestine where David was shepherd. He had to go looking for the good pasture. It didn't just appear. He couldn't just open a gate and there was the pasture. He had to go looking for it. And the same for the water in a dry environment. To have access to water for livestock is just so important. And then the shepherd provides protection from the wolves and the bears, those things that could attack the sheep. There was every reason for the sheep to follow their shepherd. To thrive, they needed to follow. And I think that's the challenge that's for us as well. Here in New Zealand, the shepherd often stays behind the sheep and he has his dogs to give a bit of encouragement for the sheep to move forward. But in the time of David, it was the opposite. And it was for every advantage for the sheep to stay close to the shepherd, because they knew that's where they would find the grass and the water. Yeah. And then in verse 3, it goes on, David talks about, he refreshes my soul, he guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Refreshes my soul. Sheep get tired. They need individual attention. It goes beyond grass and water. Looking back to my own experience when I was a 19-year-old, only a few days ago, but a little bit longer, I was actually a shepherd on my father's farm. And I had my three sheepdogs, and my father had approximately 3,000 sheep. So it was a big mob. I loved the stock work, and it was hill country, and I recall many days just going out in the hills and driving a mob of sheep, looking at the sheep, taking care of their needs. It was amazing. And one of my jobs was to look for cast sheep, because when a sheep gets approximately 12 months of wool growth on its body, it's very easy for them, depending on the lay of the land, to fall over and to get on their back, and they just can't get back up. And you see the legs kicking away there in the air. That's if they were feeling okay. But often when the gas built up, that's when it became very difficult for the sheep. So my job as a shepherd was to go around, and sometimes it only took a little tap, and you get the sheep up again. Other times you really had to work at it. And you put the sheep between your legs, and you sort of try and sort of massage it a little bit, try to help it to get blood back circulating again, and eventually to be able to stand on its legs and to be able to walk off or run away and to get to the grass again. You know, I think sometimes in our Christian life we feel a bit like that. Do you ever feel that your legs are up in the air and you're just kicking? You're not making much progress. You've been praying for something, but you're just still going at it. Isn't it great to know that Jesus is our shepherd and he's there to refresh our souls? He's willing to step into our situation and to make that difference. And then the second area, the shepherd guides us. I don't know about you, but life is, we're faced with many choices. It's part of living in today's world. And the thing is that other people always seem to know what they think you should be doing, and they'll fill up your time quite quickly. There's a lot of choices that we have to make. But I find it so easy to allow the shepherd to be crowded out so we're not listening to what the shepherd wants to give to us as guidance. In Psalm 32, these are two verses that I've often looked back into when I'm thinking about decisions that I want to make. In Psalm 32, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Are you resisting, or are you willingly following as shepherd? What adjustments do you need to be making this week to be following closer to the shepherd who's walking ahead and is wanting to lead you into good pasture? We're going to move into a time of communion now. And when I think of communion, I think of two responses, two questions that I'm asking myself. One, I want to say a heartfelt thank you to the Heavenly Father for His mercy and grace. Say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ for being the key that opens the door to God's salvation that leads to that wonderful welcome home. And the second area that I like to think about in communion, before taking communion, is reflecting on my current walk and my relationship with Jesus Christ. What is the conversation that needs to take place? Sometimes hard to identify just what we need to say to the Lord. And communion sort of comes and goes quite quickly. But it takes time sometimes to know what the Lord is saying to us, the instruction He is giving to us, and for us to hear it, we find it difficult. So perhaps that can be a help. Also on the screen, there's going to be a slide that perhaps it might help your... Can you help me out? Ah, thank you. It's wonderful to have the team at the back. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality, and the priest is Jesus Christ. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to Him and get what He is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. That's your invitation this morning from the Lord, from His word. Tell the Lord where you're at. He understands. Take the mercy, accept the help. These are the words that Jesus spoke to His disciples in the first communion. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then He took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." That's where we served with communion, and the elements will be brought to you. If we can just hold them when you receive them, so that we can pray together and take them together. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to declare that You are our shepherd. We want to say thank You that You're the one that goes before. You're looking out for the welfare of each one of us. There's times we don't understand what's going on and there can be chaos. But You're the bedrock that always leads it to that we are cared for as Your children. So Heavenly Father, we just say thank You that we can come to You this morning and that You know us and we can know You. Lord, increase our desire and love to know You in a deeper way. Father, we want to say thank You this morning for Your Son that went to the cross. He went there because He wanted us to have that access into the kingdom of God. And we say thank You for that. So Lord, thank You now that You go with us in this week and you'll guide us. And as we partake of these elements, we just express our engagement with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's eat and drink together.